From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Sunset, Portola Valley.
I currently reside in Nob Hill.
West Portal.
I live in Russian Hill.
Coming up, we'll hear what it's like to be a senior citizen who can't afford to retire.
They want to put you out to pasture, and we're not ready to go out to pasture.
Then we find out exactly how the government is helping some mature adults find work.
For example, if you can sell, or if you've got transferable skills for technology, some of those jobs can stop people off at $65,000, $70,000.
And we'll go for a ride on a shuttle that many seniors depend on.
I wouldn't be able to get around because all my children are at work and they don't want me riding the bus anywhere because I trip over the air and fall.
And we'll catch you right here on Cross Currents. Stay with us. A majority of Americans say their biggest financial concern is that they won't be able to save enough money to retire. This finding by a recent Gallup poll is likely one reason that the average age of retirement in America has increased from 60 to 62 years old since the 2008 recession. For many people, though, retiring in their 60s simply isn't possible. What happens when people who can't afford to leave the workforce are unable to find jobs? In Oakland, one of the resources they can find is called the Assets Program. It was founded in 1969 to help older adults find work while updating their job skills and performing community service. KALW's Lisa Carmack spoke with several people there who are looking for work and brought back their stories.
My name is T.C. Mayfield. I have been looking for work a couple of years now, this go-round.
Hi, I'm Steve Margulis. I've been looking for work for 3 years. And yes, the experience has been discouraging. And I'm tired of the evasions, the phony promises, oh yes, we'll look at your application, and then you never hear from them again, and you know you never will.
My name is Elizabeth Smith. Oh, I've been looking for work since December of last year. I work for home care. I work for a private agency.
Hey, my name is Randy Jafford. Yeah, I retired in 2005. And then I went back into the workforce in around 2007. And so, yeah, since around 2007, I've been looking.
The veteran services are geared to the more recent people. I mean, there's far less interest. They're basically saying, you had your chance 30 or 40 years ago, and we have to take care of others now. And that's the way it is.
The risk is hunger.
No matter the smiles and vibes exchanged, I get the feeling that my application is just going to be filed in the circular file next to their desk. And you get to thinking after a little while, gee, what's the point of this? Well, it's a nice day for a long walk or something.
You can see the immediate look of, we don't want you, you're old.
There is some hiring going on. What I don't like about that hiring, though, is that most of them are part-time jobs. Mm. We need 8-hour jobs, and we need more money per hour.
Our culture here in America and in the workforce needs to recognize the potential of seniors and what they have to offer. You feel like they want to put you out to pasture, and we're not ready to go out to pasture. We still have a lot of things that we can teach and share in the workforce that would aid everybody of all ages.
My grandfather retired at 65. And then basically they're supposed to go off and live a life of leisure. Well, that's the ideology of what is supposed to happen when after you get a certain age.
You got to think, like, go out there and do it. Do your best. So that's what I have been doing. But I'm going to keep my fingers crossed and hold my head up and When I fall, I pick myself up and do it again. Okay, so yes, I'm going to keep trying.
KALW's Lisa Carmack produced that piece. One place unemployed seniors might turn for help finding a job is the Senior Community Service Employment Program. It provides job training to low-income unemployed people by finding them temporary work at nonprofits around the country. Roxanne Murray is a director working with the program for the Family Service Agency of San Francisco. She and KALW's Ben Trefney listened to those stories of unemployed mature adults, and he asked if they sound familiar to her.
Unfortunately, they are all too common. The diversity and the breadth and the thoughtfulness of the comments, the depth of feeling that these individuals have about being unemployed or not being able to secure, you know, a job that will enable them to live some type of quality life is a story that I hear all too often, it's sad, really.
Let's talk about some of the particular points that they were making. One is, just ageism. When somebody was saying that she goes for an interview and she could see a look register on people's faces where it almost is like, you're too old for this job. Is that a reality in the marketplace right now?
Well, if you go by the individuals that are actually out in the marketplace looking for employment, who happen to be maybe 55 years of age and older, and more recently, I've heard from people who are much younger than 55, but, you know, somewhere around in the category of 45, experiencing that same situation.
What are the reasons for that? I mean, why are employers turning away from the mature population and even beyond people who are 55 and older? I mean, even people who are, say, 35 and older.
Well, you know, the employers, it's against the law to discriminate, you know, based on age. So it's probably rare, which is one of the reasons why it sometimes makes it difficult, you know, to quantify it, and maybe even more difficult to challenge it when it's happened to you. But it's something that I think for people that have been through the experience over and over, and they continue to get the same responses or the same lack of response, they have a sense that they're looking for maybe younger people. There might be a concern that someone who's older and maybe more highly skilled might be looking for more compensation. There's always the issue, you know, of health care. You can be in the best of health, but, you know, maybe I won't be well for the next 10, 15, whatever years. And it's very real.
One of the speakers there was speaking about how there are jobs available now. Say in the Bay Area, where, and in San Francisco specifically, I mean, unemployment is very, very low mm-hmm. right now. It's historically low. But he's saying that a lot of the jobs that are available for him are part-time jobs or jobs that just don't pay enough. Can you talk with me a little bit about what's going on with the economy here and then how that applies to mature populations?
Well, in San Francisco, clearly there's a boom. Tech, of course, mm-hmm. But the anecdotal information as it relates to getting hired in the tech industry is sort of like, if you're over 35, you might want to think about another career. It's been very challenging for more mature people, and I think some of that may be connected to the very real notion that for some mature people who came of age way after, you know, the whole onslaught of, you know, technology, they might not be as familiar or as comfortable with technology. But that's not all mature people. Mm-hmm. I know some people who are in their 50s and their late 60s who are very technologically savvy. The other industry is in construction. And of course, for obvious reasons, that can be challenging to someone who's 55 years of age, you know, and older. And then one other industry that's also booming right now is the area of hospitality. And then there's also healthcare. And so in each one of those situations and circumstances, they can present a particular challenge for a more mature worker.
That's Roxanne Murray. She is Program Director for the Senior Community Service Employment Program, or CSEP, at the Family Service Agency of San Francisco. So let's say I'm a mature adult who worked in manufacturing, and I come to you looking for help. What do you do? What's my process here?
Well, first we have to make sure that, as it relates to my program, that you're eligible. So you have to be 55 years of age and older. You have to meet income criteria. You have to be a resident of San Francisco.
Income criteria meaning I'm not making
much money. Make like over $14,300 for a single person.
That's low.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's low income, and for people that are at a low income, and you cannot be employed. And then we have a process where we assign you to work with a senior peer whose responsibility it is to help you to work through and identify, you know, what your short and your long-term goals are, to help you specifically identify, you know, what your training and your skill sets are.
So I'd like to retire at some point, and my training is all in manufacturing, and my industry's gone.
Then we are having a very candid discussion about retraining. We're having a very candid discussion looking at your the planning that you would need to or the thought process that you'd need to engage in to make sure that you're being realistic about what's happening right now and what could be potentially happening in the future.
So we're going to have that realistic conversation, and I'm going to realize that, you know, I'm in a challenging situation. What do you think that I should start training for?
Well, it really does depend on after we've had that conversation, and then we'll talk with you about, you know, what's happening out in the economy, you know, in the job market.
I should probably get a job in tech, don't you think?
Well, I would recommend. Well, that would be determined on your skill sets that you're bringing to the table, your capacity, you know, to acquire technology skills. I know, for example,
I've got one of those phones.
I do too, and my 5-year old knows how to use my iPhone better than I do. But I was at a meeting just the other day, and we were talking about the technology situation, and a good point was brought up by a gentleman who represents a fairly large technology company, and he mentioned that while there are some areas of technology that require very specific skill, there are others that maybe that don't require that. Entry level positions, for example, maybe like in sales. And so I think in technology, you know, we have to be honest about, you know, if you're a programmer or you're this or you're that, you really do have to have those skills. But for example, if you can sell or if you've got transferable skills that enable you to do some of those other jobs that are entry level for technology, he mentioned that some of those jobs can stop people off at 65,000, 70,000.
Well, it seems to me, I mean, if you go through an assessment of who I am and what my interests are and what my motivation levels are, I mean, you can probably find something that would work for me. I mean, I feel like you're giving me hope.
Well, that's exactly what we do. And I had one gentleman who was in my program, and he was very vocal. He's 79 years old, and he was very interested in securing employment with the city. And he was saying, I keep applying. And he had technology. His technology background was actually very strong. And we tried to talk him into doing all of those different kinds of things, but he was very focused on securing a job with the city. When he exited the program, he actually entered a job with the city in the field of technology. And so whenever I talk to people about this gentleman, it makes me feel good because, you know, we challenged him, he challenged us, but at the end of the day, he persevered. And then when he was in the situation, he allowed for his experience to shine. He did everything that he needed to do. He maintained a positive attitude. I think while he was willing to challenge, he also was willing to make adjustments, you know, to his attitude and to his way of thinking so that he would be better positioned to take advantage of an opportunity if it became available. And I think one of the challenges for those of us who are 55 plus and mature is the idea of having to amend or revise some of the attitudes that we bring to the position or to the job market is one of the things that the folks that might be predisposed not to hire us, you know, focus on. We're inflexible. We don't want to adapt, you know, et cetera, et cetera. We don't like working with younger people. And I find in the work that I do that that is really not the case, and that the people that are seeking the services of CSEP are there because they need it. They need to work. They want to work. And they want to continue to be able to make a contribution.
That was Roxanne Murray, a director with the Senior Community Service Employment Program. She spoke with KALW's Ben Trefney. You can find more information about CSEP at our website, kalw.org, and click on Cross Currents. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. Part of getting older means you can't get around like you used to. Maybe you can't drive a car anymore or hike up those big San Francisco hills to catch the bus. So a lot of seniors rely on private transit service, vans or shuttles to pick them up and take them places. One company that provides that, among other things, like senior centers and medical benefits, is OnLock Lifeways. You may have seen their big blue and green shuttle vans cruising around San Francisco. What's it like to depend on one of these senior transit services? KALW's Isabel Angel hitched a ride on an OnLock van to find out. First, let's meet the driver.
My name is Esteban Escobedo, and I drive for OnLock Lifeways. And I've been driving seniors for 3 years.
He used to be a cook for OnLock. After I join him, Escobedo's first pickup is in a garage under OnLock's 30th Street Senior Day Center in San Francisco's Bernal Heights neighborhood. He helps three women board the van and starts up the engine.
Ready?
We were born ready.
And we're off. First stop, Potrero Hill.
My name is Camille Coates, C-O-A-T-S, and I've been going to OnLock for about 3 years.
We're riding the van right now. Where are you going?
Home.
Without the van, would you be able to get around?
No, I wouldn't be able to get around because all my children are at work and they don't want me riding the bus anywhere because I'm a faller. I trip over the air and fall.
Gravity pockets?
Yeah, that's a good name for it.
OnLock Lifeways started in San Francisco, where it serves almost 1,000 people. It began as a senior day center in 1971, then expanded to include health services, home care, and transportation. It also operates on a smaller scale in Fremont and San Jose. OnLock gives almost 500 rides in San Francisco every day to people like Camille Coates. The vans drive to the senior centers, doctor's appointments, and other OnLock activities. But Coates says the vans don't go everywhere.
We should go to Vegas.
You should start a petition. OnLock to Vegas.
I know. That'd be cool.
That would be great.
Sounds like he's on board.
Cool. Yeah.
Coates is friendly with the other women on the bus. It's a fun ride. We pull up to an apartment building near the top of the hill. It's Coates' stop.
Bye. It was nice meeting you.
Escobedo helps Coates off the van and makes sure she gets to her door. Then we're off again, winding our way through Mission Bay en route to Pacific Heights.
I'm Christina Atkinson, and I'm born and raised here. I've been gone for 40 years. I just came back 3 years ago.
Her sister lives here.
And then I was living over on State Street off Castro. And I fell down the stairs, and I busted my head open, and I almost died.
That fall left her severely disabled. She uses a walker and has memory problems.
I don't leave my house by myself. I have nurses that come 7 days a week, and the bus picks me up in the morning, and then it takes me home in the afternoon.
Is there a cost issue for you?
No. No, they don't cost me nothing. I didn't know that until recently. I went, oh, that's good, because I don't have a lot of money for it to cost me something.
A rep from OnLock says that's very common. 96% of its participants have the program's cost completely covered by Medicare and Medi-Cal. And there are other low-cost or free van ride programs for seniors in San Francisco. The biggest is SF Paratransit, which is a private service overseen by the city's Municipal Transportation Agency. SF Paratransit serves over 11,000 seniors. The van stops in front of Atkinson's apartment in Pacific Heights. Escobedo hops out and helps her use the lift in the back of the van.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Have a good one.
Nice meeting you.
Yeah, nice to meet you, too.
On the way back to OnLock, Escobedo pulls over to the side of the road so we can talk. He tells me he loves his job.
You know, different seniors, different stories, different lives, different languages. Myself, you know, I speak English. A little Spanish, no, more Spanish than English. And I learned, you know, how to speak a few words of Chinese.
Can you say good morning in Chinese?
Ni homa.
What about Filipino?
Like, ¿cómo está boca yo? That's like, how are you?
What about Japanese?
Ohayo means good morning.
Christine was saying she wouldn't be able to go anywhere without OnLock driving.
Yes, I know, because they rely on us, and then it's like I told them, sometimes we have a job because of you guys, and then you know, it's like it works both ways. It's like a good relationship between a senior and maybe a driver, and that's really good.
Almost 15% of San Francisco's population is over 65. That's nearly 120,000 people. For those who can't get around on their own, transit services like this get them out and about and living. In San Francisco, I'm Isabel Angel for Cross Currents.
You can find more information about shuttle services for seniors at klw.org. Click on Cross Currents. And we'd like to hear about your experiences. Call our feedback line at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. That's it for today's Cross Currents from KALW News. Our team includes Jeremy Dalmas, Leela Day, Jack Detch, Sandhya Dirks, Marcy Fraser, Nina Gensler-Debs, Chris Hoff, Angela Johnston, Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Alexis Luna Torres, Ted Muldoon, and Stephen Short. Today's show was engineered by Seth Samuel. Our line producer was Audrey Dilling. Our senior producers are Julie Kane and Jen Chien. Our news director is Ben Trefney. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. And thank you. Because of your support, we can proudly say we're listener-supported public radio. And we'd love to hear from you. So email us at news@kalw.org. Or you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at KALW. This is the band Harvey Scales and the Seven Sounds. They're playing at Angelica's Bell Stage in Redwood City this Friday night at 8:30. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.